For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Okay, let's open in prayer this morning. We come around the Word of God as the Spirit of God is present. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your precious Word. We thank you for the household of faith that we are in. And we have come into that through the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our door. We praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, we ask that this morning, by your Spirit, you speak to us, that we would go forward in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking at part two of Joy in the Household of Faith. Joy in the Household of Faith. And you may remember that I went through some foundational things about the household of faith and just what it means to be in that household, and that it was a place where we do things that are pleasing to the Lord. And of course, faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we must have faith, and to be in the household of faith, there is an atmosphere, and should be an atmosphere, whereby we can believe for things in the Lord and go forward in Him. If you have a look at Ephesians 2, we'll go back a little bit, go through a couple of scriptures first, so that we can see where we're coming from. Ephesians 2, 18 to 22. This morning I'm going to talk a little bit about the joy aspect of being in the household of faith. You know, we are in a very different situation than we were in before we were born again. Before we were born again, we were dead, that is, separated, dead in trespasses and sins, dead to God, separated from His life, from His blessing, separated from Him by our sin, our trespasses and sins. In Ephesians 2, we'll start from verse 18 and go to verse 22. It says, "For through Him," that's through Jesus, "we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." How did you get access by the Spirit? Well, we know that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is Spirit, little s. So our born-again spirit connected, became alive. We were born of God. And so we see we now have access unto the Father by that one Spirit. Verse 19, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." I don't think we understand yet just how much that means. Household means everything that the house of God holds. What is held in the house of God? Things of faith, things of blessing, things of truth, things of love and peace and joy. Glory to God. We've come into, by the Spirit, have access by one Spirit unto the Father, we've come into the household of faith. We are no more strangers and foreigners. No more. But prior to being born again, we were strangers and foreigners. But now we're no more strangers and foreigners to God or His kingdom or the church or fellow saints. But we are of the household of God. And verse 20 says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." We are part of the building of God now. We're part of the temple of God. And it's the habitation of God through the Spirit. In that household of God, we truly have the only way to have access and fellowship with God. Praise the Lord. And we read also that we are to dwell in the house of God forever. Forever. Praise the Lord for that. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 gives us a bit more detail about God's household. And we see here a very important fact which we have to take hold of. Verse 9 and 10, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now you know that the kingdom of God is a man going out to sow, and there's a reaping involved in that. So the sowing of seed and reaping of a harvest, this is all part of the way the kingdom of God operates. Okay, so the operation of the kingdom of God is for us not to be weary in well-doing. And well-doing is all about seed sowing. Your words, your actions, all of that comes into play as we are in the household of God, in the kingdom of God. It says, "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So we're not quitters, we're not fainters. We are people that go forward, that press on, go forward in the Lord. As in verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now we should count ourselves as being of the household of faith. The household of faith. And God is saying this is good ground. Good ground to be doing those good things. That let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So good ground, good place to sow seed amongst the brethren, good place to sow seed in the work that the church is doing, the work that God's house is doing, and making sure that we are linked with that by faith. Linked with that by faith, because we want to see the will of God being done all around us. That should be our desire, to see the will of God being done in our life. The Bible talks about being filled with the knowledge of His will. So the will of God being done in our life, will of God being done in the church, will of God being done throughout this society we're in, that can only be done by faith. And approaching everything by faith in the Lord. Trusting Him to lead us and guide us and to show us what to do and how to do it, and so on. So we must be people that are sowing, and we're sowing especially into the household of faith. Now, we saw that Abraham, we won't turn back to it, but we saw that Abraham, in his household, he commanded his children, his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord. And we are children of Abraham by faith. We are people who are linked into that. And our household must come into the household of God. Praise the Lord. If you look at Acts 16, we see an example here. In Acts 16, verses 13 to 15. But God's desire is for the households of the earth to join in and come in to His household, the household of faith, so that everyone, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that everyone should come into the kingdom of God. Of course, not everyone will believe, not everyone will repent, not everyone will believe the gospel and come into the kingdom, but this is God's desire, this is His will, this is what He wants. And in Acts 16, starting from verse 13, it says, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So we see here that God will give us opportunities. He'll give us opportunities to speak, opportunities to witness. And there will be people who, yes, might not hear you, but there'll be people who the Lord will open their hearts. And we see here in verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened, Lydia, this seller of purple. The Lord opened her heart. So we've got to be open to opportunities where people are going to have their hearts opened to hear us. And notice that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So she heard. And if she heard, then she'd know, okay, I need to be baptized and my household. And you see here that her whole household came in to a believing state. This is God's desire. This is God's desire. And so we see that this is the way it should happen on the earth today. Let's have a look at Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5. Let's look now about the joy aspect, because joy is not just an emotion. Joy comes from the heart. It is a settling in the Lord that He has your interests at heart, that as you trust in Him, you can have a rejoicing come up as a well within you. You know, there's a lot of people that they will not rejoice in the Lord unless they have a feeling come upon them. And that's not the way to go. You see, if you walk by faith, not by sight, you will rejoice even in the middle of some sort of trouble, or even in the middle of what seems to be a famine. You will say, I believe in my God. He is the one that has my blessing in His hands, and I am available to Him, and I am ready and willing to go His way. So we need to let's have a look at what it says in this psalm. Psalm 100, we'll go right through it, verses 1 to 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. So here we see the great calling for people to come into the household of God. The great calling to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. To serve the Lord with gladness. To come before His presence with singing. Now, God wants His people to be joyful before Him. Now, there is so much to be joyful about. You have been called out of the power of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness. You've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been washed clean by the blood of Christ. You have access by the Spirit to the Father, and the Father's household is full of blessing. Praise the Lord. He prepareth a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. And where are their enemies? On the earth, isn't it? Not in heaven. So that table is prepared before you now. Now we have a prosperous God. We have a God of provision. We should be rejoicing. And how do we rejoice? But take the word as it stands and say, Lord, what have You done? You have done so wonderful things for us and my household. You know, I am full of gratitude for what the Lord has done for me personally and my household. And so in the household of God, we know that there is wonderful things and joy and blessing. Outside of Christ. Remember what the scripture says, that those who don't have Christ are without Christ, without hope, without God. Okay, they might think they've got hope, but their hope is very limited in this world, because if they die without Christ, if they go into eternity without Christ, it is a terrible thing. It is a horrible thing. But notice verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So we will be in the house of God forever, the household of faith, forever, to all generations, everlasting. The blood of Christ doesn't have a use-by date. It doesn't finish 1,000 years from now. It is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Have a look at 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 7. 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 7. As we operate in the household of faith, and we must do it by joy, we cannot be people that are depressed or people that are without hope or acting as though we don't have any hope. But as we see that there is great blessing in the household of faith, the household of God, as we see that, the way we communicate that to each other, the way we show that to each other, the way we progress with each other is to make sure that people see the right things concerning the church, concerning our lives, concerning faith. In other words, we are to be examples of faith. We are to be examples of joy, examples of peace. If our words contradict all of that, if our actions contradict all of that, it's going to have an effect on our own household. Remember how Abraham and his household was. He commanded his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. So the way of the Lord in our households must be what God expects in his household, because we have joined together. Let's have a look at 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 7. And we'll read here what it says here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Well, there's a characteristic, isn't it, of being in the household of God? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord for that. Now it's a sad thing, but you often hear of children in Christian homes leaving the faith, going the way of the world, things like that. And I think one of the keys to this not happening is what we see in verse 5. Now, you've got to understand, we see how Abraham commanded his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. That's what Genesis 18 tells us. But understand that if our households are not running according to the line of faith, then there will be people who will reject, even though we have connected with the household of faith, there will be people who reject that and go the way of the world. But what do we see? There was an unfeigned faith that was in Timothy. Unfeigned, unpretended, no pretense attached to it. Completely genuine. And notice it says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. So that faith can be communicated from grandparents to parents to children. In other words, there can be a whole line where people are not lost to the Lord, they're lost to the enemy, but are kept within the household of faith. In faith, in love, and going the way or keeping the way of the Lord. But that doesn't happen, it certainly doesn't happen by chance, random process. It happens by very deliberately saying, I will go the way of the Lord. I will live by faith no matter what. Okay? I will speak and talk faith. It doesn't matter what the devil or anything else will bring. I'm in the household of faith. There is blessing there. And my children, as for me and my household, we will follow the Lord. We will go the way of the Lord. So it's not just, as for me, I'll go the way of the Lord, but it's your whole household. Your whole household. Now, as you go forward, you'll be brought into relationships. Some of you yet to be married, you'll get married and you'll have a household, and keep this in mind, that you must be consistent in your faith. You must grow in your faith. You must express and show your joy and the peace that you have in believing. You must show that you're a person of faith to your children and to those around you. You know, we often hear of this discrepancy. Oh yes, in church. I remember talking to a tradesman who'd been brought up in a so-called Christian family. And he said, when my parents were in church, they were acting this way. But when they were out of church, they were just like everyone else, swearing and drinking and doing all types of other things. He said, where was the difference? And now that man, completely away from the Lord, if ever he was in the Lord, completely right away from, can you see that we have to be consistent? We have to have an unfeigned faith in our household, which will join up as we are joined with the household of faith. We'll be consistent. So that we are consistent in our households to show what is in the household of faith. Praise the Lord. Look at Romans 15, verses 13 and 14. Romans 15, 13 and 14. And by the way, that problem that I just mentioned about parents and those who come into church and then go out of church and act completely contrary to the Word of God, that is an epidemic problem right through our society and amongst the churches today. It is very, very sad, but it has to change. Remember, Christ is returning for a word-washed church, one without spot or wrinkle. Praise the Lord. That type of thing has to change on the earth. So Romans 15 verses 13 and 14 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Praise the Lord. You see, we don't think of just ourselves. We don't just say, well, I've got my life to live, and it's a little insular thing. And, you know, the church is over there, and I'm over here, and never the twain shall meet. No, you're in the household of God. You're in the body of Christ. You're in the church of God. Now you should be saying that I am filled by faith with all joy and peace in believing. Whatever you're believing for, you're believing for in the Lord, you say, I'm filled with joy and peace in believing. I claim that joy, I claim that peace, I have that in Christ. Don't wait for a feeling to come along. You know, there might be symptoms of fear come on you. You say, I rebuke you, fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. You get out. God has delivered me from all my fears. You know, there might be a feeling of despair might come, of trouble. You say, I refuse that. In Jesus' name, I receive joy from God. See, this is the way of faith. The way of faith takes hold by faith of the things of God. Takes hold of what has been provided by God. God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. This is what faith is all about. You're believing. You're believing. You're believing for increase. You're believing for good things. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There's an abounding attached to you going forward in the Lord. Verse 14 talks about you being full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Admonish one another. Help one another. Love one another. Strengthen each other. Build up each other in the church. Praise the Lord. The Bible talks a lot about edifying the church, edifying the brethren. Look at 3 John 1, verses 1 to 7. 3 John 1, verses 1 to 7. There's only one chapter in 3 John. So we'll look at verses 1 to 7 here. Notice the word joy here. We are people of joy. You might say, well, I don't feel as though I've got much joy. You need to take hold of it by faith. Say, Lord, I receive that joy that you have provided because I have entered into the gates and I'm going to give thanksgiving by faith. So stand up and give faith. Thank him. Thank him for the good things. Thank him for the things he's given you. Walk in the truth. Now this is important to understand. You can walk in feelings and circumstances and that which you can touch. Okay, that's walking by sight. Or you can walk by faith, walking in truth, and say, what is the truth of the matter? Not what the devil dictates, not what circumstances dictate, but what the Word of God dictates. Let's read what 3 John says, starting from verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. What we see here, there are a few very important points to take note. Notice he's talking about whom I love in the truth in verse 1. You love your brethren in the truth. The truth says, love one another. Okay, the truth says, love God with all your heart. And by faith you say, I do. And I agree with that in Jesus' name. Verse 2 talks about prospering and being in health. But it links it with even as thy soul prospers. Now we've talked a lot about that. As many sermons we've touched on this, about your inner man prospering, your soul, which is your mind, will and emotions, prospering in the Lord. You've got to get your mind transformed and renewed. Okay? And you do that through walking in the truth and having the truth in you. Because that's what it says in verse 3. I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. You've got it in you. It's in you. So you're in the household of faith, and the truth, the word of faith, is preached in the household of faith. And where does it have to get in? In your heart and in your mouth, doesn't it? So the word of faith, the truth, thy word is truth, Jesus said, it's got to be in you. The Bible talks about that engrafted word that's in you. It's part of you. The Bible talks about the word of Christ dwelling in you richly in all wisdom. So it's dwelling in there. The truth is in you. And if the truth is in you, then you will say, I choose to rejoice in the Lord. I choose to have faith in the Lord. I choose to believe. Okay, the truth is in you. But if it's not in you, it'll be just out there some, you know, yes, I believe the Bible is true sort of attitude. But it's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in there. Because if it's in you, what will happen? What does verse 3 say? Of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Walkest in the truth. When we talk about joy in the household of faith, we're talking about having joy because you've got the truth in you and you walk in the truth. You walk in the truth. You walk in the Word. You're walking in the Word. You're taking that Word as true. You're walking in that. You're walking in that. Verse 5. Verse 4 first. I have no greater joy. This gives such joy to your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and particularly the ministers of the word. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Why does he say that? Because you can't have victory and triumph in the Lord without walking in the truth. Truth in you. And we mentioned before how it gets in you, the word of faith which we preach. In your mouth, in your heart. Okay, we talked a bit about that last time. And we have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In other words, they're obeying the Lord. They're going the way of the Lord. They keep the way of the Lord. Okay? So you can see that households that keep the way of the Lord, what do they seek to do with their children? The parents would seek to do with their children, for example. They'd seek to get the truth in them. If the truth is in them, then they're going to start to walk in the truth, aren't they? Praise the Lord. Verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully. Faithfully. See, faithfully means you stick with it. You don't give up. Whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which are borne witness of thy charity before the church. Charity is love in action. It's all about walking in the truth. Okay, it's not about what can I get for myself. The Bible says we should not henceforth live after ourselves. But what can I do for the Lord? What can I do for His church? What can I do for the brethren? What can I do for the household of faith? The household of faith. I want to sow into the household of faith, don't you? Sow into the household of faith. I'm not just talking about just this congregation. Obviously, there's many congregations who are part of the household of faith, many Christians. You know, we're obviously not the only Christians. There's many right across the earth. What can I do? The Lord will lead you. The Lord will lead you. And he'll also lead others to give to you. You know? I've received many things, even from other countries. People have sent things to me over the years. The Lord has led them to do that. Praise the Lord. But born witness of thy charity before the church. So in the household of faith, your charity will be known. The fact that you walk in the truth will be known. Praise the Lord. I want to leave you with that today. Let's close in prayer. I believe the Lord has spoken to us and is saying, people, be consistent. You're in the household of faith. You're in the household of God. You know, I have, is what the Lord is saying to us. I have things for you that I want to open up to you, to show you, to bring to your remembrance, to bring to your own household great things and blessing. God is speaking to us. He's telling us of his wonderful things. Heavenly Father, help us all to be consistent in our faith walk. To be people that don't just step outside of the church and forget, or be forgetful hearers, but be doers of the word of God. Be doers. Be of an understanding heart. People that have the truth in us, that we walk in the truth. We ask for your help, Lord. We ask that you show us and help us, and we will be diligent to seek you, to keep your ways, and to keep your word before us, not just when we're in the church, but when we're outside, amongst the world, where we're in places that only you can see us. Help us, Lord, to be consistent people, in Jesus' name.